passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And it is the middle of the week, and what a week it has been so far. So much to talk about as we head toward the weekend. Thanks for being here on the first day of November. Yes, we made it that far. Let's get right to some of the headlines and share with you what people have been talking about, and mostly it's been about a couple of subjects. The CFP being one, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State. By now you have heard all that. We'll get into the details this afternoon, what it all means, if anything, and quite frankly, doesn't mean that much. Buckeyes edged out Georgia. That could change here in a couple of weeks with Georgia playing some of the tougher games on its schedule, including Missouri. As we go through the schedule, there's Missouri at number 12, so that will count. LSU at 14, quite frankly, a little bit low when you consider who the losses have been. Tennessee at 17. Last year they were number one. Kansas at 21. Oklahoma State back from the dead, taking on Oklahoma in the final bedlam. And back to UGA, the College Football Committee said Georgia's level of play trumps strength of schedule metric. In that case, I'm not really sure why they're not number one, which they should be, but the FPI, after all that, their schedule is better than people gave them credit for in summer, especially the schedule ahead. Look, I mean, that's a pretty weighty schedule, even with Oklahoma being ripped off. I thought the committee blew it, frankly. I thought Georgia should have been number one. Doesn't really matter a whole lot. I think the team you have to worry about being number one at the end is Michigan, even though there are many beginning to wonder if Michigan should even be eligible. We'll talk about that later on as well. Biggest game this weekend in the conference is in Tuscaloosa, isn't it always? LSU coming into town, so much at stake. Jaden Daniels in the Heisman race. His QBR is off the charts. Alabama's defense. Those are not record Alabama numbers for the defense, but they seem elite, at least in terms of the eyeball test. Dabo Swinney, the dynasty over? Maybe his career starting to shake a little bit after the infamous battle with a man named Tyler the other day on the phone. It's not easy taking phone calls, especially when they're critical, but when you make $12 million a year and you're as thin-skinned and as petulant as Dabo Swinney and handle the situation in obviously a ponderous move, you are going to catch flack from all over the country, and Dabo is taking it on the chin right now. We'll talk to Dan Wetzel a little bit later on about that and many other things. Alyssa Lang will be in here. So will Asia Wilson, one of the top basketball stars in the world. We'll chat with both of them in a few minutes. Wetzel. Pat Smith rejoins the show. Always great to have his perspective on the SEC. And your phone calls are straight ahead at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Charlie first in Missouri. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on Mizzou versus Georgia this week and if we actually have a chance to pull off this upset.
Well, I think it will be a fascinating game. As far as an upset, I'm not real high on that probability. I think you are catching Georgia at a pretty good time, though, after the emotional win over Florida and before the Ole Miss game, which is going to be one of the bigger games in the country next week. But yeah, Missouri's got the obvious. I mean, they got a really good defense. They have outstanding quarterback play, maybe the best wide receiver in the country, other compliments as well. So I look for an interesting game, but not not an upset game at all. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, is your son okay, Tyler, after what Dabo did to him?
I talked to him today. I thought he should have shown the old man Dabo a little more respect.
I tell you, Paul, every time you hear him, the comments Dabo made, it just gets worse each occasion. I just hope Wikipedia wrote down or took notes on his education, family, and faith to update his bio. But I've got two predictions, Paul. First, let's go. And by the way, I thought this CFP, for the most part, was correct, albeit I agree with you. Georgia should be number one. Washington, Oregon should be the two that are looking in from the outside. My first prediction is Alabama will win by double digits. They're ascending. I think LSU's descending. Brian Kelly, more often than not, does not win big games against big teams. I'm going to double down on another prediction. I'll tell you why, Paul. Last week, I predicted Jim Harbaugh would sign an extension. And so, well, you know, what happened since then? Well, they suspended the rogue analyst. They commenced an immediate internal investigation. Harbaugh denied any knowledge or that he promotes that kind of practice. This is unprecedented. Michigan invited the NCAA in to look at the electronic communications and also to interview the staff. This week, no additional suspensions of any staff. And I think they're going to move ahead, sign him. I think he's a hometown hero over there. He was a All-American quarterback Heisman finalist. He gave $2 million back to the school and his bonuses a few years ago. I think they're going to move forward. I'm not dismissing that there were some violations, but Paul, between you and me, stealing signals, seriously, it's all about the special rule that doesn't allow staff and electronics to be used to scout a team. Here, Paul, I'm going to give you two things to watch in the next few weeks. Jim Stapleton is on the NCAA Infractions Committee. He's a Michigan, well, more particularly Harbaugh hater. And I think he's been the leak on both investigations. And then watch Ryan Day try and squirm and get out of the fact that his brother, Chris Day, at 4th and 1, a private investigation firm in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is the one that got access to information provided to the NCAA. Sounds like Ryan Day can't win unless he uses his big brother.
Thanks, Sean. Sounds like the talking points from Ann Arbor were clearly in your hand today. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you feeling, sir? Thank you very much for taking my call. Let me ask you a question. So why would Jim from Tuscaloosa would feel offended that his boy toy Arnie the Soggy did not imitate him? Like, what's going on here? Am I missing something?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, why do you care, Jim, who imitates you or not? I mean, it's the last person to worry. That's the last person to worry about. A song from Augie, whoever he is. And then he got callers. They call in. They say, oh, I like him.
Dwayne is up next. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up, Paul Feinbaum? Hey, buddy. John from Louisville. He want to talk about what's going to happen, huh? He should worry about Louisville. That's what we should be worrying about. What you think, huh? Worrying about LSU and Alabama. That we're going to get stumped, huh? We're going to shock the world.
All he said was you're going to lose by double digits. I think most people, you agree with that, don't you, Randy?
Yeah.
Most people agree you're in for a whipping.
Yeah, but no, we ain't for no whipping. Yeah, hey, we're going to beat them.
Another Nick Saban beatdown.
Hey, we're going to beat them by 10. Now, what you going to say then? We'll be beating by 10, huh?
Anyway,
that football poll is right. Ohio State is better than Georgia. Ohio State played more tougher games than Georgia.
No, they didn't.
And Michigan.
They played Notre Dame, which they weren't even smart enough
they
to
played,
know
they got
the 11
men
on the field at the end of the game.
Notre Dame and who else? They ain't some over who they played. Huh?
Hey, Dwayne. If you're so confident of LSU, you'll get your shot against the Dogs in Atlanta. Remember last year?
Yeah, we sure will.
Remember last year?
We sure will. We might not. Missouri might beat them this week. Missouri might beat them, and then Ole Miss might beat them.
No, they're not.
We might not get no shot. Nah. The Dogs and all that.
Just admit something, okay? Admit, nothing you've told me this year has come true.
Hey, Georgia ain't playing nobody. That's the truth. That's the truth right there. When they play Missouri, Missouri scored by 80 points on them, by 40 on them. Missouri need to put up about 40. That right receiver, I don't think they can stop that right receiver from Missouri. Bolton, what his name is, Bolton, and that quarterback.
Burden.
Now, think about that. Then Lane Kiffin, with good Lane Kiffin going on there, Lane Kiffin going to put a butt whooping on him, too. Show what they're messing with then. See what they're messing with then. Huh?
Okay, Dwayne, we have to run. We have a real guest coming up here in a minute. We'll take a short break. Back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And it is the middle of the week, and what a week it has been so far. So much to talk about as we head toward the weekend. Thanks for being here on the first day of November. Yes, we've made it that far. Let's get right to some of the headlines and share with you what people have been talking about, and mostly it's been about a couple of subjects, the CFP being one, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State. By now, you have heard all that. We'll get into the details this afternoon, what it all means, if anything, and quite frankly, doesn't mean that much. Buckeyes edged out Georgia. That could change here in a couple of weeks with Georgia playing some of the tougher games on its schedule, including Missouri. As we go through the schedule, there's Missouri at number 12, so that will count. LSU at 14, quite frankly, a little bit low when you consider who the losses have been. Tennessee at 17. Last year, they were number one. Kansas at 21. Oklahoma State back from the dead, taking on Oklahoma in the final bedlam. And back to UGA, the College Football Committee. So Georgia's level of play trumps strength of schedule metric. In that case, I'm not really sure why they're not number one, which they should be, but the FPI, after all that, their schedule is better than people gave them credit for in summer, especially the schedule ahead. Look, I mean, that's a pretty weighty schedule, even with Oklahoma being ripped off. I thought the committee blew it, frankly. I thought Georgia should have been number one. Doesn't really matter a whole lot. I think the team you have to worry about being number one at the end is Michigan, even though there are many beginning to wonder if Michigan should even be eligible. We'll talk about that later on as well. Biggest game this weekend in the conference is in Tuscaloosa, isn't it always? LSU coming into town, so much at stake. Jaden Daniels in the Heisman race. His QBR is off the charts. Alabama's defense. Those are not record Alabama numbers for the defense, but they seem elite, at least in terms of the eyeball test. Dabo Swinney, the dynasty over? Maybe his career starting to shake a little bit after the infamous battle with a man named Tyler the other day on the phone. It's not easy taking phone calls, especially when they're critical, but when you make $12 million a year and you're as thin-skinned and as petulant as Dabo Swinney and handle the situation in obviously a ponderous move, you are going to catch flack from all over the country, and Dabo is taking it on the chin right now. We'll talk to Dan Wetzel a little bit later on about that and many other things. Alyssa Lang will be in here. So will Asia Wilson, one of the top basketball stars in the world. We'll chat with both of them in a few minutes. Wetzel. Pat Smith rejoins the show. Always great to have his perspective on the SEC. And your phone calls are straight ahead at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Charlie first in Missouri. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on Mizzou versus Georgia this week and if we actually have a chance to pull off this upset.
Well, I think it would be a fascinating game. As far as an upset, I'm not real high on that probability. I think you are catching Georgia at a pretty good time, though, after the emotional win over Florida and before the Ole Miss game, which is going to be one of the bigger games in the country next week. But you know, Missouri's got the obvious. I mean, they got a really good defense. They have outstanding quarterback play, maybe the best wide receiver in the country, other compliments as well. So I look for an interesting game, but not an upset game at all. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, is your son okay, Tyler, after what did Dabo do?
Uh, I talked to him today. I thought he should have shown the old man Dabo a little more respect.
I tell you, Paul, every time you hear him, the comments Dabo made, it just gets worse each occasion. I just hope Wikipedia wrote down or took notes on his education, family, and faith to update his bio. But I've got two predictions, Paul. First, let's go. And by the way, I thought this CFP, for the most part, was correct. Albeit, I agree with you. Georgia should be number one. Washington, Oregon should be the two that are looking in from the outside. My first prediction is Alabama will win by double digits. They're ascending. I think LSU's descending. Brian Kelly, more often than not, does not win big games against big teams. I'm going to double down on another prediction. I'll tell you why, Paul. Last week, I predicted Jim Harbaugh would sign an extension. And so, well, you know, what happened since then? Well, they suspended the rogue analyst. They commenced an immediate internal investigation. Harbaugh denied any knowledge or that he promotes that kind of practice. This is unprecedented. Michigan invited the NCAA in to look at the electronic communications and also to interview the staff. This week, no additional suspensions of any staff. And I think they're going to move ahead, sign him. I think he's a hometown hero over there. He was a All-American quarterback Heisman finalist. He gave $2 million back to the school and his bonuses a few years ago. I think they're going to move forward. I'm not dismissing that there were some violations, but Paul, between you and me, stealing signals, seriously, it's all about the special rule that doesn't allow staff and electronics to be used to scout a team. Here, Paul, I'm going to give you two things to watch in the next few weeks. Jim Stapleton is on the NCAA Infractions Committee. He's a Michigan, well, more particularly Harbaugh hater. And I think he's been the leak on both investigations. And then watch Ryan Day try and squirm and get out of the fact that his brother, Chris Day, at 4th and 1, a private investigation firm in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is the one that got access to information provided to the NCAA. Sounds like Ryan Day can't win unless he uses his big brother.
Thanks, Sean. Sounded like the talking points from Ann Arbor were clearly in your hand today. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you feeling, sir? Thank you very much for taking my call. Let me ask you a question. So why would Jim from Tuscaloosa would feel offended that his boy toy Army, the Soggy, did not imitate him? Like, what's going on here? Am I missing something?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, why do you care, Jim, who imitates you or not? I mean, it's the last person to worry. That's the last person to worry about. A song from Augie, whoever he is. And then he got callers. They call in. They say, oh, I like him.
Dwayne is up next. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up, Paul Feinbaum? Hey, buddy. John from Louisville. He want to talk about what's going to happen, huh? He should worry about Louisville. That's what we should be worrying about. What you think, huh? Worrying about LSU and Alabama. That we're going to get stumped, huh? We're going to shock the world.
All he said was you're going to lose by double digits. I think most people, you agree with that, don't you, Randy?
Yeah.
Most people agree you're in for a whipping.
Yeah, no, we ain't for no whipping. Yeah, hey, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat them by 10.
Another Nick Saban beatdown.
Hey, we're going to beat them by 10. Now, what you going to say then? We'll be beating by 10, huh?
No, anyway,
that football poll is right. Ohio State is better than Georgia. Ohio State played more tougher games than Georgia.
No, they didn't.
And Michigan.
They played Notre Dame, which they weren't even smart enough
they
to
played,
know
they
got 11
well
men on
they
the
played,
field at the end of the game.
Notre Dame and who else? They ain't some of who they played. Huh?
Hey, Dwayne. If you're so confident of LSU, you'll get your shot against the Dogs in Atlanta. Remember last year?
Yeah, we sure will.
Remember last year?
We sure will.
We might not.
Missouri might beat them this week. Missouri might beat them, and then Ole Miss might beat them.
No, they're not.
We might not get no shot. Nah. The Dogs and all that.
Georgia Bulldogs
and all that.
Just admit something, okay? Admit, nothing you've told me this year has come true.
Hey, Georgia ain't playing nobody. That's the truth. That's the truth right there. When they play Missouri, Missouri scored by 80 points on them, by at least by 40 on them. Missouri need to put up by 40. That right receiver, I don't think they can stop that right receiver from Missouri. Bolton, what his name is, Bolton, and that quarterback.
Burden.
Now, think about that. Then Lane Kiffin, with Lane Kiffin going down there, Lane Kiffin going to put a butt whooping on them, too. Show what they're messing with then. See what they're messing with then. Huh?
Okay, Dwayne, we have to run. We have a real guest coming up here in a minute. We'll take a short break. Back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back as we continue here. What an afternoon this has been, and we're only 32 minutes into our program. Let's grab some calls here, and Jason is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you again today, sir.
Thank you.
Need to get back with my brother there, Dwayne from Louisiana, calling, talking about all this mess that LSU is going to beat Alabama. I done told him last week, if we weren't for Saban, that program was dead 45 years, Paul. 45 years without a natty. Saban come and saved that program. And all he want to do is disrespect Nick Saban. But they got something for him Saturday, Paul. They're going to put it on him.
Yeah, there's a little bit of payback being built up in Tuscaloosa right now.
Yeah, yes, sir. It sure is. We're going to put it on them, what they did last year. Hey, they did. That's over with. But I promise you, we're just going to put it on them, and that's going to be all the LSU. And he also want to talk about Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin must still be stuck in his head, Paul. He put 55 points on them fools. Lane Kiffin ain't going to be about nothing. They beat your team, Dwayne, 55 points. That's why you stuck on Lane Kiffin. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. So, Paul, wanted to touch base on a couple of things. Obviously, it's Bama Hate Week here in my household. But I wanted to touch base on Dabo and Tyler. And Tyler just pulled the old rope-a-dope on Dabo, and he fell for it.
He sure did.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, though. You think that Dabo will be a little more cognizant of the, you know, the situation, where he's at, what he's doing. And you know these guys get media training all the time. And it's just to lose, you know, obviously.
But Rick, we've all been to these trainings, regardless of what they're for. But Dabo's not going to listen to anybody. He knows everything. He's a know-it-all. We all know that type. And what he did the other day, we got a peek into his real character in spite of all the stuff that he hides behind.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because, you know, I think the man's a good football coach, but I think that he has, with that little outburst, he probably did more harm to his program than good.
Well, I think every time he walks out on the field, he does harm to his program. Thanks for the call. Bash is up next. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call, Paul Feinbaum. How we doing?
Okay.
It's great to hear. So I wanted to call in, Paul, and talk to you again about the SEC championship game coming up in a few weeks. But I got to address what I saw this morning on the First Take show when you came on and gave your take about the college football rankings. And, of course, Stephen A. Smith had to disagree with you. And any time Stephen A. Smith disagrees with you, Paul, just all you have to do is tell him three letters, T-C-U. Exactly. But, again, back to the reason I want to call about the SEC championship game. If you remember last week, I asked you, did you think when we watched Alabama versus Tennessee, which has never happened before in the SEC championship game, did we potentially see the SEC championship game preview? And you said no, because you don't think Tennessee is going to go undefeated the rest of the year, especially going to next week against Missouri and the week after against Georgia. But let me remind you, Paul, This week, Georgia and Missouri are going to beat the crap out of each other. And after the game is over, Georgia's going to win. I'm sorry, Missouri Tigers. This isn't your year. You're having a great story, but not in 2023. But after Georgia wins and goes the next week and plays Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin is going to have the first victory against his old former assistant coach that he was with under Nick Saban. And then the week after that, Paul, he's going to have to do the same thing Nick Saban did last year and go on the road to Knoxville and have to handle that hostile crowd, being the number one ranked team, all the pressures on your shoulder, and every mistake you make is going to count 10 times more, just like it did for Alabama last year.
We continue with Jay in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
It's official LSU hate week, Paul. I got to do a shout-out to Dwayne. You should go ahead and buy a box of Kleenex because you're going to need it after Saturday night. We're going to spank – Bama's going to spank that – I'll just say butt. They're going to spank that butt, Paul. Death Valley's
– John is up next in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Man, you have a special gift, my friend. You know how to poke all the crazies out there, and I appreciate it, and I love your show for it.
Thank you.
I just want to say go Dogs, and that I am very happy they put us at number two, because that gives Kirby Smart some ammunition to rile up the boys. So thank you, sir, and you have a good day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's continue. John is in St. Louis. Hello, John.
Paul, how you doing today?
Okay.
Good. I called last week, and I was ranting and raving about Michigan, and you and I ended up talking about Ron and Martin's laughing and Mickey Mouse, and I said goodnight. I wanted to have a sober conversation today about your midweek vibes on the chances of Missouri fairing up and butting heads against the Dogs down in Georgia. I know it's going to be a real test. Georgia's obviously a tremendous program and got a lot of depth and a lot of talent. But what do you think about the game, Saturday?
I like Georgia. I think Missouri is a very talented team, but I think ultimately they're playing a team that is a slightly different classification.
Do you think Missouri's defense will get some pretty good hits on Georgia and Missouri? It seems like their defense has really improved the last three or four games. I mean, obviously they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points against LSU, but LSU does that to everyone.
Yeah, no, John, I haven't really given the game a tremendous amount of analysis other than I'm just impressed with Georgia. I think they're the best team in the country. They're the most complete team. They're a physical team. They're dominating on both lines. And I think as good as Missouri is, and I think they're very good, I just don't think they're in the elite class that Georgia is. I think playing in Georgia will be just a factor. It's not the biggest factor in the world, but I think it's another factor that enters into the conversation. And something about Missouri that makes me a little bit uncomfortable is the last outing. I know they beat Kentucky on the road, but they were almost out of that game. And I think there's they have a tendency to get out of focus a little bit. It happened against LSU, and it happened against Kentucky, and had it not been for that special teams play, I think they would have lost the game against Kentucky. We take a short break. We are back. More of your phone calls. A number of guests will be dropping by. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Tim is in South Carolina. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Hey, Tim.
How you doing today, sir?
Tim, we are doing great.
Yes, the reason I called, I live here in South Carolina, not too far from Clemson University, and I've been to games up here, and I met Dabo and associated with him a little bit. I'm just saying that a lot of this, you know, that you hear from other fans and stuff like this is not relevant to what the man is himself. He's got more character in his little finger than 90% of the people that calls in on the show. Sure, he's made some mistakes, but who hasn't made mistakes? We all human.
Tim,
and everybody on this earth has made mistakes.
Let me interrupt one second.
Yeah.
The issue is what kind of coach he is. all we're really having a conversation about is the way he handled that gentleman the other night and what he said. And I've met Dabo Swinney a million times, as you have, but none of that matters in relation to what he said. I don't understand why he said what he did.
Well, I agree with you. Like I said before, we all make mistakes. I've said some things to people, you know, in the heat of the moment as far as work. Then a few hours went by, I went back and apologized. I said, hey, man, we didn't mean this. And, you know, we worked it out as coworkers and stuff like this.
Has Dabo apologized to that guy yet?
Well, I haven't heard that.
Had Dabo the next day stood up at his press conference and said, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I just called the guy personally. I would have great respect for him, but he hasn't done that.
Well, yes, you know, and I agree with you on that, Mr. Paul. But there's also been coaches that said stuff, and you, Lane Kiffin, and, you know, Nick Saban, and so on and so on. And, you know, they didn't apologize, but we let it slide. Everybody have to let something slide in the life, you know. And I'm not defending the man to where he was wrong. But he was wrong, yes. But what I'm saying is everybody's got little mistakes in their life, and he made one, and you made one in your life, and I made one in mine. We got to move on. If there's one coach on this planet that will turn it around, is Dabo. He's in the class with, you know, the Nick Sabans and everybody else, I believe. But some people don't believe it that way.
Tim, thank you for sharing that information about Dabo. Eric is in Hartford. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. I always watch your show. I don't always agree with you, but I do watch it because you have a great show. I wanted to comment on the Harbaugh situation with Michigan. I just think that we're blowing this way out of proportion because it's the only talk that will get the headlines for today. And I, you know, based on the rules and the regulations, this isn't going to, you know, end during the season. The season is going to be over with before they get a final decision on what the scenario had took place. And then the second thing they got to understand. This person who they claim to be at that Central Michigan game, they got to prove if that's him or not. I don't, from my understanding, they don't have proof that that's the guy. So they're still trying to figure that out. So I just think that, you know, we just got to sit back, understand that the season is not going to be affected right now. It's not going to get resolved until after the season. So quite frankly, they're in a good situation that this came out now rather than later. Because if it would have came out before, then we'd be talking maybe something different earlier in the season. But, I mean, that's just my opinion. It's just getting redundant to keep talking about it. NCAA can fix this simply by just putting the mics in the helmets. I mean, they could do that tomorrow.
They can fix it moving forward, but they can't undo the possible, if not probable, advantage that Michigan has had for several years. So, I mean, that's a great line you had there, but it's not germane to this issue. And quite frankly, according to NCAA bylaw, the onus will be on Jim Harbaugh to prove he didn't do it as opposed to prove that he did. This is not a court of law. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And let's check out Ron in Mississippi. Hey, Ron.
Good evening, Paul. On the referring to the Dabo cleaning, he brought himself down to the guy's level. He should have just took the high road and moved on, and it went on way, way, way too long, you know, just like I do and a lot of other folks out there. Now, on the second thing, hey, see, this guy that calls up here, Paul, I'm pretty sure we need to just start a GoFundMe account and get this guy a phone. He has the worst phone of any caller you got that calls in the show.
By the way, there's even a better way to solve the problem of AC as opposed to getting him a new phone. It's just never taking his call again. Thanks for the suggestion. How about Mike in Atlanta? Hello, Mike.
How about it, Paul? What'd you say?
We're doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome to hear. Just got two things to kind of run by you today. Was talking to a buddy who lives in Alabama, and Jacksonville State sure is hot right now. Rich Rod might be looking to get back into coaching at a higher level if he wins this weekend. What you think about that?
You know, that's really an interesting thought. I like Rich Rod. I think he's really kind of a coach who fell so far off the face of the earth that it was hard to find him. But a win against South Carolina, I think, would do that for him. I think he's already gained a lot of respect for the job he's doing at Jack State. But you need to punctuate it, and he would do that Saturday if he could pull that off.
I certainly agree with you. And, you know, speaking of punctuation, another coach that's kind of looking for their kind of marquee win on their career would be Lane Kiffin, you know, a few years into his career at Ole Miss, 10-year more so. But, you know, if they were to actually beat Georgia next weekend, they'd theoretically, let's say, go 11-1, not make it to the SEC championship, but maybe have the best win of the season amongst anybody vying for a playoff spot. Do you think the conversation has to start at some point to get Ole Miss in?
It could. Again, the issue they'll have is not playing for a championship. But Ohio State got in last year and other years without playing. Alabama's gotten in twice, I believe.
That's right.
So it's not impossible. But yeah, it would be a remarkable win. And you know, Lane, until this year, has not had many of those, but he's already had a couple this year, and I think he's having a good year. Thank you very, very much. We head to the break. We have had a busy afternoon. Dan Wetzel on the situation with Dabo. We'll also get his thoughts on Harbaugh and more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.